Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6:25 p.m. and that is British summer time. I've just flown into London, so I'm recording a little bit early because I probably will be asleep by the time the US market closes, suffering from a little bit of jet lag. But it feels like these days you can't leave the market for even a minute because of the events are moving so quickly. And we're certainly seeing that in the Italian bond markets today, where the yield doubled overnight on the 2-year. So this is a very clear upward dynamic, massive, I think, liquidation of positions. This is obviously having almost a vicious circle effect on the banks and then on the sovereign and vice versa, because banks hold a lot of this debt. The ECB is going to be more than reluctant to buy more Italian debt because of this uncertainty. And the commitment by the ECB to do everything it can at all costs to support the euro, well, obviously people are asking the question whether that applies if there is this question overhanging the Italian market. Well, we definitely see that there is a governance deficit within the EU. When a population votes and then the elected government or a number of parties have come together and negotiated a coalition and they have a majority in parliament and then they are not allowed to take power and there is a third party candidate that is enforced upon the nation, that's really something that we don't tend to see in established democracies, but that's exactly what's going on in Italy today. It holds out the very realistic possibility that there is going to be an additional election, and well, I think if any of us were in the same position, we would all be out there voting and protesting loudly at what is in effect an attack on the democratic process. It holds out the realistic possibility that there is going to be a massive protest vote, even bigger than we had last time out. And that could be construed then as a referendum on membership of the Eurozone. So we know what the rationale is behind this very large upside dynamic in the yield. We also can see from this 10-year chart that yields were incredibly low and even in negative territory for the vast majority of 2016 and all the way through until about 3 weeks ago. Negative yields on 2-year Italian debt is almost a contradiction in terms, and that ridiculous set of circumstances is now being quickly unwound. We can also see that the yield was substantially lower than it was back in 2009 and 2010, and that is as a direct result of the ECB's purchase program, which is obviously now being questioned. Well, the peak in the yield was around 8% previously. It is not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we see 8% again. If there is another election, then the parties involved are going to be doubling down on their previous claims, and it is likely to be a very aggressive campaign because they will want to try and gain an even larger majority so that they have even more bargaining power. So then the question is, at what point do the yields start to really pressure these parties? Italy is not Greece or Cyprus. It isn't going to be so easily bullied by the European Commission. But that doesn't mean it can't be influenced by the bond yield. And Italy is in no way prepared to pay yields of anywhere close to the 8% level that it hit back in 2011. That was a spike that was very quickly unwound. We would need to see a very clear and substantial improvement in the status of the relationship between the periphery and the core, between the ambitions for the EU and what they anticipate any kind of improvement in governance to be, and there doesn't seem to be a great deal of appetite for any of that at the present time. Well, that is obviously then having a knock-on effect for stock markets. The Italian index today was down about 3%. The Spanish market was down by a similar amount because a considerable number of those Spanish banks have got fairly heavy exposure to the Italian market. There are large numbers of European banks hold a great deal of Italian debt. So that is also having a deleterious effect on the European banking sector, where there is a heavy weighting of both Italian and Spanish banks in this index. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, it is a clear break of trend that we'd had a pretty impressive rebound off the lows from 2016, but it lost momentum in the middle of last year. Now it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean and it's breaking lower. This is not a bullish chart, it's a very bearish chart, and that it really would require a clear and sustained move back above the trend mean to question potential for additional downside and even potentially lower lows from even below those lows that we've seen in 2012 and 2016. This is an existential question for the EU. And it's another existential question. This is obviously not the first time. It's having a knock-on effect for stock markets just about everywhere. The S&P 500 is also pulling back in here today. And when we look at the charts, we can see, for example, that the S&P is now back below the 2700 level. That had been an area of support over the last 2 weeks, but it has broken lower. And that's it, when we look at it on a weekly basis, there's a triangular pattern evolving where you have the progression of higher reaction lows at each retest of the trend mean, but you still have this lower bias to trading since the peak we saw back in January. And that those lows in the region of the trend mean are going to have to hold if the support building process is to be given the benefit of the doubt. We could still move into a much more volatile environment and still be above the 2500 point level, but if we move below 2500 points, well, then that would suggest that we are in much deeper territory from the perspective of a medium-term correction, that this reaction would not be limited to 10%, but rather would be more than that, and we could be into a more difficult environment generally. I think it is worth also to keep an eye on the US banking sector. Obviously, they do not own Italian debt, but it is now back in the region of the trend mean. And now the question is, at which point is it going to bounce? Then, looking at the Nasdaq, it was also in negative territory, but not in nearly as dynamic a fashion. And down less than 1%, it is in the region of 7,000. 7,000 has been an area of resistance on two separate occasions since January, and we are back testing that level again. So this is a natural area where the market should pause, consolidate. But in terms of degrees of separation from the epicenter of risk, which is currently Europe, we would have to conclude that the technology sector is really quite well insulated from that particular source of angst. Nonetheless, in a risk-off environment which is rapidly evolving, I think, then there is nothing that isn't going to experience at least some selling pressure. The dollar's rally continues, most particularly against the euro, but the pound was also in negative territory in here today, and the fact that the dollar is rallying in such an aggressive manner is likely to put pressure on a number of other markets. The Indian rupee had been strengthening up last week and had bounced rather impressively, but it has given up some of its advance in here today. We're back in the region of the lows for the rupee. This is an area where we could anticipate that some support should start to be coming back in. Then, when we look at the renminbi, well, it's in weaker territory in here today, and it is now much closer to unwinding the dollar's oversold condition relative to the trend mean. It's coming back up towards this potential area of resistance for the dollar, but I think there is the realistic possibility that the renminbi has rallied about as much as it's going to. Then, when we look at the Asia dollar index, it had spent most of last week in the region of the trend mean. Sorry, I need to pull that up again. And now it is, I think, pulling back below the trend mean. So this is a broad-based dollar rally, and the only currency of the majors that it is not rallying against is the yen. So generally speaking, the yen tends to outperform just about everything else in a period of risk-off, and it is now back below the dollar is back below the 110 level, and the progression of lower rally highs remains intact. That's likely to act as a headwind to Japanese stocks over the course of this, I think, what is now looking like an extended corrective phase. Everything was looking reasonably sanguine until last week, but what's going on in Italy is a non-trivial set of factors, and it suggests that we are going to be back, or at least pulling back in here, and that there is the potential that we could move into a deeper corrective phase. And considering that a number of markets have rallied really very impressively over the course of the last 6 or 7 weeks, then there is potential here for some pause and consolidation at the very minimum. And when we look at, for example, the second section index, then it had bounced from the region of the trend mean, and now I think we are going to get some additional pause and consolidation. So even among the markets that had been doing reasonably well, the chances are now that we're going to get some consolidation, but that there is acute risk, particularly in the European financial sector, and that has the potential to have a knock-on effect just about everywhere else. Then the rise in Italian sovereign yields is also likely to have a knock-on effect for the sovereigns of other peripheral countries, not least Spain, Portugal, and Greece. The Spanish government bond yield was also up in here today, certainly not in the same dynamic fashion that we've seen with Italy, but it is coming back up towards the upper side of this evolving almost 4-year range, and 2% on the Spanish yield has been a bit of a Rubicon, but it does look like we are going to at least test that level. Then, when we look at the Portuguese 10-year, well, that had also been compressing now for most of the last 18 months, but it is now right back in the region of the trend mean. The one big difference between Spain and Portugal versus what we see in Italy is that the ECB is quite likely in here and buying aggressively. That's why we're seeing this tail on the candle that we see in Portugal, that they do not want to see contagion. There is a clear risk of contagion, and that if we were to expect the ECB to be active at all, it would be to try and act as a headwind to anything that's going on in Italy infecting the rest of the Eurozone. So I think that's quite likely what we can anticipate. Then, when we look at what the spreads are likely to be, well, regardless of what other people are doing, there's lots of investors that are buying bunds. And the yield compressed really quite impressively in here today, considering that it was above 50 basis points just 10 sessions ago. It's now at 26. So the yield has almost halved on the bund over the course of the last 2 weeks, and there is the potential for it to compress even further. There is very little prospect of the ECB raising interest rates anytime soon, and there is, I think, a realistic possibility that they may have to engage in quantitative easing once more if they're going to try and appease what is a growing revolutionary movement among the populations of large sections of the Eurozone. And when we look at what is going on in the US government bond markets, then the yield has come back below 3% in a dynamic manner. and it is rapidly unwinding the overextension relative to the trend mean. This is not dissimilar to the kind of action that we saw back in 2013 during the taper tantrum, when the yield got up above the 3% level and then failed. It came right back down to the trend mean, and then the yield bounced again before failing once more. So, in order to confirm a return to supply dominance for US assets, then, or for US sovereign bonds, it's going to be a sustained move above 3% is really going to be required to confirm that we're in a supply-dominated environment. When you have a strong dollar and relative outperformance by US assets, then they become a safe haven. Then, when you have the reality that the dollar is pressuring emerging markets, well, then that also raises the potential that some money is getting taken out of those assets and brought home. So then the when we think about what are the types of things that do best in a risk-off environment, it is the yen, the dollar, the US treasuries, and gold, and sometimes also oil. But oil does have this headwind from the fact that OPEC and Russia have decided that they are going to start pumping once more. Gold today, though, was pretty much unchanged in US dollars. The dollar was really very firm, so that is acting as something of a headwind for gold to continue higher from here. But it is appreciating in just about all other currencies. So, for example, when we look at gold in euro, it's breaking out. When we look at it in pounds, then it is firming through this 980 pound level. When you look at it in Australian dollars, then it is also starting to firm from that 1700 dollar level. Now, if we pick a particularly weak currency, then it's trending higher in Brazilian real, and in Chinese renminbi, it has firmed from the lower side of its range. So it isn't so much that the gold price is weak, but rather that the gold price in dollars is keeping or that the dollar is rising faster than gold, or at least as quickly as gold at the present time. So what that also suggests is that gold does best when it's appreciating in all currencies. And there is the realistic possibility that the $1,300 level is going to hold for the, or at least the region of $1,300 will hold for gold. Any easing in the upward pressure that we're seeing on the US dollar would result in the gold price rallying from here. So I'm going to continue to hold my longs in the precious metals. I do think that they are at an interesting level in here right now. Then the oil price was in negative territory today, but not in a dynamic manner. And I do think that the most likely scenario is that we are back in a mean reversionary kind of scenario, but so far the reaction has been relatively similar sized to the reactions that we've seen within the course of this uptrend so far. And I think that a sustained move below the $75 area would confirm that we're back in more of a corrective phase, similar to what we saw in January, rather than the small little steps we've seen in the uptrend over the course of the last year. Then, when we look at, for example, some of the markets which are most acutely affected by the strength of the dollar, well, the Indonesian market was in positive territory yesterday, but it was closed today. So the likelihood is that it is going to fail in the region of the trend mean tomorrow. Then, when we look at, for example, the Turkish lira, well, they raised interest rates by 300 basis points last week, and now the question is whether that is enough. But so far, the lira is firming, and what we see generally after significant accelerations lower in currencies, it's when they raise interest rates that they start to firm. So This is positive action by the Turkish lira, and it may indeed suggest that some of the worst selling pressure is behind it, despite the fact that we still have this uptick in risk that's coming out of the rest of Europe. And I think these are the main points in here today. There's definitely been an uptick in risk. That the likelihood is that we are in a risk-off environment. That there is going to be a continued firming of the dollar, but that generally speaking, the U.S. assets are likely to represent relative strength even within this corrective phase. Eventually, we are going to get some form of resolution to the Italian question, and so far Europe doesn't have a great deal of doesn't have a great deal of faith from the investment community that it is able to solve its problems. That all of the solutions that have been proposed over the course of the last decade have been basically on Germany's timetable, and after a decade of fiscal austerity, I think people are simply getting sick of it, and that this rising populist movement is a popular movement, and it is not simply an insurgency, but a popular movement that is unlikely to simply be dismissed. And that does represent an additional risk premium for Europe, which is the epicenter of risk right now, I think. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.